Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now, there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from... Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
This is Brandon Ayuk, and you're listening to Roster Wars.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. I'm also joined by the Trash Man here on this big day. It's a big day because we're into it, guys. We're in the redraft season at this point. The ADPs are updating. The ADPs across the sites have begun to get actually good. We got version 2.0 of the PPR ultimate draft cheat sheet, which will be dropping at rosterwatch.com next week. We're also going to be getting up the standard and half point PPR sheet that Cody oversees, and I'm going to be getting into this to the super flex sheet. It's like now it's time, and it's also the time that we need you guys to go to rosterwatch.com, sign up for your pro memberships, or get those things re-upped, or if you have them to automatically re-up in August. We certainly will be looking forward to seeing you then. But like, we've been back at this thing for redraft since the end of May, and now it's just time to crank it back up now that all the tools are finished. All those things are up for you guys over at rosterwatch.com. We're digging into these ADP. So today I figured we talk about some of these biggest ADP movers. With that being said, before we get to that, there's going to be one ADP mover in Rashee Rice. That has to do with a situation that, as of the recording of this, is still, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And that is, of course, that now he's been given 5 years of probation. And during those 5 years, he's going to have to spend 30 days in jail. Cody and I were arguing about this earlier. I don't think he can. Cody just says he'll go for 15 weekends. Trash Man, do you think that that's even allowed?
Guaranteed.
I think he's going to go. I think he's going to have to go and just do it.
15 weekends? That sounds kind of preposterous, but oh, I don't know, man. There's probably some loophole that would allow him to do it.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem like that's a waste of taxpayer money to have to pay all the booking expenses and stuff and letting the guy
out? Outstanding citizen that's going to have, you know, he's going to have protective services and all this crap. And they're going to say, you know, you have to work during the week. You have practice, you have obligations. But if you can come in for five weekends per year, we'll be good.
All right. Well,
I mean, I bet there are plenty of people in KC who would voluntarily give up their paychecks for another.
No, it'll be in Dallas. They can't voluntarily take. They're not going to drive down to Dallas to do the jail time. What do you think, Trash Man? What are you doing for him though? As far as Cody and I were talking about on the cheat sheet earlier, I'd be interested to hear how far you would drop him as far as his ADP kind of right now. It's funny because he was a guy that was actually rising. He was across all the sites. Like if you just look at Underdog, CBS, ESPN, FFPC, Yahoo, Best Ball Tens. If you go, you can also look at the Mock Draft Wizard, their ADPs over at Fantasy Pros, the ECR, et cetera. You just take those, put them all together. You're looking at what was an ADP now of 34. So end of the third round. It felt like to me, like just because, you know, most of my experience had been in best ball with this stuff. He was going a lot earlier in best ball, like more like end of second round, but end of third round is kind of where he had sort of kind of settled in as far as us talking about managed redraft league stuff. Where does he fall to you? And I'll just give you some kind of, is he still there for you, or do you consider him now around guys like that go off in that next round, the maybe the Marvin Harrison Juniors and the Mike Evanses, the, you know, or do you wait till like the DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, Xavier Worthy area, or is it Devontae Smith?
Him until, I mean, by the Xavier Worthy, I mean that's probably the comparable. I'm not drafting him before that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, George Pickens would be, I don't like, I might even put him behind George Pickens.
Well, Cody and I
I pushed him a little further down to Zay Flowers. I said Zay Flowers, Travis Hunter's kind of like a backstop for me. I put him
because we're projecting.
If you're up against it and you have the option of a George Pickens there or Rashi Rice, you're really going to take Rashi Rice there?
No, I'm taking Pickens. That's what I'm saying. We moved him five spots even further down than that. I'd take Pickens.
Because here's the thing. People are just assuming now a four-game suspension. If it's a four-game suspension, he'll probably try and plead it down to three games. I don't think it's going to be a two-game suspension. When Adam Schefter comes out and says that now they're going to be able to, what was it? Not prioritize.
Well, hopefully he's injured severely. Zay Flowers higher than that.
They're going to be able to expedite this situation now for a multi-game suspension. So, I feel like it's probably four. I haven't even looked at what the first four for KC is. So Kansas City, I mean, the first four games. So that's at the Chargers, which we have as a top 12 matchup for opposing wide receivers. That's versus Philly. That's just a horrible matchup for opposing wide receivers. Maybe the worst, I think. I think that was the worst that we have this year. The Giants are a top 12 matchup. That's in week three. And then versus Baltimore, which is a terrible matchup for opposing wide receivers. But we know that is going to be a home game. That's going to be the game they're probably flexing out for that Sunday night game. That's going to be the Big Island game, right? Chiefs, Ravens. So you figure it's probably going to, I'd imagine it's going to have a 48.5 point total in that game. It's got, like, it might not be a good matchup, but it should be a good scoring environment in a Big Island game, right? I wouldn't mind having Rashi Rice playing in that game for me. So as things stand right now, if things go by what we think, in his first game back, he would get at Jacksonville, which is a top eight matchup, Detroit, and then another top eight matchup in the Raiders. But it's like there's only on the whole schedule two more positive matchups left. The Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver core has six positive matchups out of 17 games this season, and he loses out on two of them if he misses the first four of the season. So it's a tough deal. We got Jeff D'Agostino in the chat saying it's been a while since the league made an inexplicable example. It's going to be eight games. I don't think they can give him eight games. Jeff, we definitely appreciate you and everybody else here hanging out.
There was like two minor injuries in the situation. I think like I wouldn't be shocked if they gave him two.
For 5 years and 30 days in jail.
That's again, I don't condone any of it.
And it's,
but
it's
nobody was like, it wasn't domestic, and it wasn't a domestic situation, which we know the league takes more serious, and there wasn't anybody severely injured.
Yeah, but they got to take car stuff serious after rugs and things, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
And I mean, how many is Jordan Addison missing? Three?
I think that came down as three.
So, I don't know, man. Just feels like multiple incidents. Fleet allegedly, I mean, there's some alleged stuff in there that's pretty bad. I think we're, as we're projecting it, we keep it at four. If we're keeping it at four, we got to move him down, like you said, to around Zay Flowers. It's
the thing is, the Chiefs don't really need it.
So CBS, Jonathan Jones, CBS lead NFL insider, Jonathan Jones says, based off of NFL's personal conduct policy, precedent, and potential mitigating aggravating factors, I would set the range of suspensions for Addison at 1 to 3 and Rice at 5 to 7.
If it's 5 to 7, we're cooked even having him where we have him.
He's got to be – I mean, he's got to be – I mean, I don't want to say off the sheet at a 5 to 7 or like a 7. I mean, a 6-7 is like
you can't do it. We have to get off to a faster start than that. What I mean? We can't be waiting for our big dog to get. You know, it's like gosh, yeah. Man, you feel bad for the people that took this guy in the second round.
I think you boot if it's a 5 to 7 game ranger. I think it boots him down to like 5th to 7th, like 6th, 7th round. Which is obviously a severe drop.
Dude,
It can't be a top six pick.
Yeah, but even 7th round, 7 games? Are you kidding me?
I mean, but man, what he did the first part of the season last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was.
Their schedule's not that. I mean, he would come off of a bye. The bye is in week 10, and it would be Sertan. Yeah. Off of bye week 10, Sertan. I mean, it's not exactly the easiest run.
It's not good.
Sertan twice in the playoff. Yeah,
no.
I mean, he's only on my radar if I choose not to go.
Okay, so
in one of my drafts.
In version 2.0 of the PPR cheat sheet, and I'm sure with Cody, whenever he gets the standard and half point PPR cheat sheet up, it's probably going to be a situation where if you're using that, with just given what we know now, you're not gonna have much Rashee Rice until we get just better information about this. Like that's, if we're talking about something like a possibly up to 7 games, that's obviously more than substantial. Yeah. Let's talk about some of these other ADP movers and fallers and stuff like that.
Before we go straight into ADPs though, can I ask the one question? It came out a couple hours ago, but Mike Williams, it's not like we were in on Mike Williams by any means or any stretch of the imagination, but does that do anything in our immediate thoughts for like a Trey Harris, a Quentin Johnston,
No. Anything
in this passing game?
I had him projected and penciled in as an absolute zero and a total dud.
No, I know, but it's more of like the bottleneck factor, I think, for a Quentin or a Trey Harris. Is that have any like Trashman? Do you have any thought on like I just kind of not the biggest fan of Quentin Johnston to begin with. They've spoke highly of him. Trey Harris is there now, who was 5.15 yards per run this last year at Ole Miss, almost 1,000 yards year before at La Tech. Good receiver, and I just kind of was like, I'm not even thinking about anything to do with that passing game because Mike Williams is kind of a bottleneck on top of those two guys. Aside from having Ladd McConkey there, now I'm kind of like, I got to watch this for training camp type of situation.
I mean, it's kind of you're watching at your own peril. Quentin John, I mean, he's Mr. Unreliable. It's just like, you know how much I love Quentin Johnston coming out of college. And he's just somebody who I would not. I'm not messing with. There are too many viable receivers that you can get in that range to bother with them. It just doesn't really make sense.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use. You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelday providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelday can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelday today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
All right.
So deadlines make deals. We have Chris Ostro in the chat letting us know Trey Harris just signed. Look, they're getting in all these second round picks, man. They're getting into training camp, right? Or wait, Trey Harris was a second round pick, right?
Trey Harris was a six. Was he a 63rd overall pick?
Thought he was second round. He might have been third.
55th overall pick, second round. Looks like TJ Watt just signed a mega deal too, right?
So basically the whole deal with these second round picks, not like none of them being signed, was because the Texans went out and did this thing with Jaden Higgins, guaranteeing his full deal. And I think what was going to break the dam with this and get them all to sign is, for one, they got to get signed and show up to camp. And for two, Alfred Collins this morning, the rookie second rounder for the San Francisco 49ers, signed his deal. And what he did was he didn't sign it fully guaranteed, but I think there's $10.3 million on there and they guaranteed 9 of it. And he's probably just like, that's fine. And I think other guys are going to see that. They'll be like, all right, we're not going to get the Higgins stuff, but just let us have the Alfred Collins stuff. And I think it's going to work for everybody except for Quinshon Judkins, if he came in there with his hand out right now, I'm not sure I'd be too pumped if I was the team owner. All right, Cody, how about you start with the ADPs? What do you think? Anybody stand out to you as far as big fallers, big risers?
Well, I was putting the differential on all these guys from the last. So the ADPs we have is from a couple of days ago versus the mid-June. So it's about a 3.5-4 week interchange here. And the biggest mover, I mean, shouldn't shock you, but the biggest mover was J.K. Dobbins, moved up almost like 4 rounds, 48 spots. Was the biggest mover, clear cut by 3 rounds, was the next biggest riser. So I thought J.K. Dobbins was interesting, namely because I'm not that interested in J.K. Dobbins. And he moved up from 184 to 135, which puts him right there in about the 11th round, the 11th, 12th turn. And I'm kind of, you know, we've talked about Audric Estime before. Obviously, R.J. Harvey's there. This offense seems like those would be, to me, the three guys that are going to be the focal point of that backfield. But they still do have McLaughlin and Watson and Tyler Beatty, who they lumped in all together at the combine. I think that immediately tells me I don't want Dobbins. Just seeing him rise up that much in June, July, I would hate to see what he's going to rise up over the course of the next 3 weeks, and, you know, 2 weeks before training camp and then the first week of training camp. So, I mean, Dobbins surprised me, and I'm out at that price tag.
I'm way out. I don't know where it's like, I know where I'm getting him in the simulations, but I think about like Jaden, that's right around where Jaden Blue goes. Is that where he is right now so he's like at 131. So it's the same thing. We're talking you know, what, 135 versus 131. Like, it's like that part of the draft, man, I'm hyper-focused on seeing if I can get Jaden Blue. I just, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, that running back situation, I just have so much conviction on how bad Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders looked last season. And, you know, going back and watching more of Jaden Blue and not seeing it in the fog of war of just watching these Texas games so closely and just like going back and just watching the guy's skill set, man, he's dynamite as far as, his skill set, the way he can be used as a receiving back, but also he's a slasher. He's really good. So, I think if I'm going running back there, I'm not taking dusty J.K. Dobbins with a major R.J. Harvey problem. So, what about Michael Pittman? Why is he up 12 spots? Is it just because people are like, wait, so Anthony Richardson might not be throwing him the football?
Well, yeah, people are probably just now catching on to that, but also the fact that, like, if you just look at the talent level of these guys, you're like, wait, Michael Pittman's where? Like, that's my thoughts when I see him there. Like, I understand the situation.
Right.
But when you look at Michael Pittman right now, like, we know what he can do. We know he can be the elf. I know there's a lot there. Downs, Tyler Warren.
He's going in the 10th round, dude. Even with his move up.
That's mispriced. Like, that just doesn't feel right with the talent that he has.
Trash man.
About Michael Pittman or just in general? What's
Pittman?
What's it about Pittman?
Yeah.
I mean, I think people are just having drafts and they're like, they're seeing a name that they recognize and they're able to get it higher than, you know, than it seemed like they should be. And so I think that's what's happening with him. I think there's, you know, name recognition. And he's just been devalued up to this point. But I mean, it's Daniel Jones. I mean, like, are we really getting stoked about anything connected to his arm?
I'm more stoked about connected to his arm than Anthony Richardson's.
He's only got one tough matchup in the first 10 weeks of the season, and it's against Denver in week 2.
Pittman?
Yeah. Everything else is blue and white. One tough matchup. You got Pat Surtain in week 2, and then you're pretty much good until you're bye. And then, yeah, you got a couple tough matchups, but it's not that – I mean, it's not bad. And if Daniel Jones is competent, this could be a good football team if the quarterback is just literally like – Kirk Cousins level, like, average.
Daniel Jones isn't even Kirk Cousins.
That's what I'm saying. If.
And he's never been. Why would he be now?
Well, I think he's shown it in a couple of games. Like, I shouldn't say as a passer. Obviously, Daniel Jones isn't Kirk Cousins, but as a overall quarterback showing competency, being able to complete the football and advance the ball down the field.
Are you talking about as a game manager? Like
Daniel Jones has legs.
What Daniel Jones is at best? I mean, with a plethora of good options in that receiving game, to me, it just smacks of just like inconsistency out of a guy who you're going to be, you know.
What consistent wide receiver are you getting around 10? You're not. That's not an area where you want to be taking wide receiver.
Well, you're probably not going to be getting him around. I mean, he's
Keon Coleman.
His ADP is rising.
Okay. I think I'm with Cody. I kind of like, if I get Michael Pittman 10th round, I don't love it. I don't hate it though. He's certainly a more talented player than that ADP price tag warrants. Right?
You could take a stab at a Luther Burden.
Dude, how's Luther Burden? I get it. I took him on my Scott Fishbowl team. I told Cody, Hollywood Brown,
who's gonna provide quite a bit.
I told Cody this is the perfect format for me.
Quite a bit of value with no Rashi Rice potentially for the first half of the season.
Worthy?
No.
Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood. I'm like, dude, I don't know where you're shopping to get Worthy in round 10. this is Chris Ostro, again, asking a question. Who do you guys prefer between Worthy, Jameson Williams, Zay, or Jaden Reed? If you have to keep one, I would J-Mo. Keep Xavier Worthy.
For me, it's J-Mo, but I mean, I'm biased.
What do you think? I mean, I have Worthy and Pickens and Devontae Smith.
It says Worthy.
Worthy, you know, Devontae Smith, J-Mo, I have them all kind of in the same.
You can't skip on Worthy, especially with the Rice stuff coming down. Yep. And then after Worthy, it'd probably be J-Mo.
Yep. Thank you, Jeff D'Agostino, for this. Jeff D. I don't know if it's D'Agostino or D'Agostino, but love you anyway, brother. Thank you for the super chat. $5 super chat from Jeff here. Trash man, who has Daniel Jones ever had to throw to? Slayton, Galladay, no offensive line, a rolling door of mediocre coaching. I mean, he's absolutely right. His offensive line has been terrible.
But his receivers are never the problem. The guys he was throwing to were not. He couldn't get it to the guys.
What?
He couldn't get it to the guys. The receivers weren't the problem.
Well, I mean,
I know this is wishful thinking for Daniel Jones, and like maybe he's a decent quarterback under there. Maybe we get a decent quarterback out of Daniel Jones, but he's nothing like. I would rather have a number two on a good team than the number one on the Colts.
I think you're acting like Daniel Jones is like Anthony Richardson. Like Daniel Jones has grown from his rookie season where he's throwing 61% up to 60. He got to 67% 2 years ago.
And he's like, dinking and dunking everywhere.
He's got 14,000 passing yards. He can throw the
football. Dunk. Dink and dunk.
Daniel Jones, so in 2019, his best wide receiver was probably – I guess you would say, you know, would you consider Evan Ingram? But it's probably Darius Slayton.
He had Golden Tate and Shepard that year.
I mean, and if you're making the comparison, then it's Josh Downs or Tyler Warren you're getting the ball that he's getting the ball to.
2021, you're looking at, you're looking at Galladay.
Tony as
like the leading wide receiver on that team. Kadarius riding off the field on a golf cart.
Galladay was a what? 15 touchdown receiver?
Maybe maybe when he was
the 1 year in Dallas, or the one year in Detroit,
and in the Lions.
I'm just saying, like
guys like Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins and stuff. Darius, like, yeah, dude. I mean, I think Jeff makes a good point. He hasn't ever had good receivers, and I think that Shane Steichen is, you know, he's not a Kevin O'Connell, but I think he's probably a better, you know, just a better guy as far as a communicator to his quarterbacks. I don't know. Who knows? He might even start. It could just be back to Anthony Richardson, and we're
there's no way they're going to go back to. They can't do that right away. This team is in. I mean, there is. If there was one job in the NFL this year that is like everybody is sitting on, you know, needles above a lava, like this is it. Like that they need to make the playoffs, period. They need to get off to a good start. And like I just said, the schedule's not terrible the first half of the season. They got to win games. And you can't just be like, well, Anthony Richardson, we'll see what happens with the shoulder. He's going to run the ball.
They bring a mediocre quarterback in, you know, as kind of like, I guess, insurance for Richardson, but it's still a guy who they've never fully given the reins over to. And it's just like, it's just going to be this waffling. Until you actually give the guy an actual chance to be the guy or not be the guy, it's going to be like this every year.
Trishman, the guy's won a playoff game. He started out a season with the Giants. He went 9-6 with the Giants. He started the season out 7-2 with the Giants. Of the last 5 years.
How many games did you start Daniel Jones in your fantasy leagues?
I'm not saying I'm drafting Daniel Jones. It's talking about
his effect on a guy that could be a real value in the 10th round.
I mean, that's fine. If you want to go through the headache of deciding whether you want to start Michael Pittman on a weekly basis, then go ahead.
You Trashman would rather have the headache of going over to Trader Joe's and rifling through their trash for free crackers than anything else, man. He's like, I'm not going to deal with Daniel Jones, but as far as my near criminal freeganism, I'll take all the time in the world to do that. All right, let me ask you guys.
I don't see the equivalency, but
well, I'm just saying you waste time on all kinds of garbage. How much time do you spend going to yoga?
I don't really go to yoga.
Probably about as much time as you spend on the clock.
I don't go to yoga. I just date yoga teachers.
All right. Yeah, well, that's definitely true. All right. So I'm going to ask each of you guys just one question, then we'll get out of here. Out of all these, so Trash Man, tell me which one of these risers you think makes the most sense. You got to pick your horse. Tell me one that you hate and one that you love. I'm going to give each of you guys three. C.J. Stroud versus um, versus mid-June is up 12 spots from 142 average to 130 average. And that is major, considering that most quarterbacks, once we get out of best ball stuff and we get more redraft ADP, they go later in redraft because you don't need to have two to three of them on each team, right? The fact that CJ Stroud is actually up among quarterbacks is very, very, very telling. So CJ Stroud is up, and that's even with the offensive line being so bad. He's up 12 spots. You can have him. You could have Matthew Golden for the Packers, the rookie out of Texas, who's up 10 spots from mid-June till now. Or you can have Jordan Mason, who was traded from the San Francisco 49ers to the Minnesota Vikings, up 9 spots since mid-June. All these guys are players that fantasy drafters are hot after. Pick your horse.
For me, it's Stroud. Easy. I mean, he's got top 5 quarterback upside.
Okay. I guess I can't – hard for me to go against that because I believe in his rookie season. Wasn't he was actually QB5?
I think so.
Let me look that up. That could be wrong.
Can I just have J.J. McCarthy instead?
What?
I just have J.J. McCarthy instead of C.J. Stroud.
Well, but I haven't asked you yours yet.
That's fair.
C.J. Stroud. It's looking like in a 4 point per passing touchdown that season, he was QB 11. So I was way off with that.
But he only played 15 games, so I think.
No, I'm talking about just on a per game basis. You know, on a per game basis, he was QB 11. If you just look at overall fantasy points, he was QB 13 in that season. So, not sure he actually has top 5 QB upside. He has not shown that. Cody, you have to choose between these guys. You have to catch the falling knife. Okay. Roshan Johnson's down 10 spots since mid-June. Despite the Bears having done nothing, I mean, their situation has not changed at all, right? Keon Coleman is down 9.5 spots since mid-June. And your other boy, all this could be tough for you. Cedric Tillman down 8 spots since mid-June. You have to catch the falling knife. You have to do it. What do you got?
Well, if you give me those three, the first one I'm eliminating is Roshan. And it's probably because I'm going to be okay with my running backs by that point, and I'll wait a couple rounds later than that to throw my darts. Between Cedric Tillman and Keon Coleman, man, I really love Cedric Tillman. I've said this. I've drafted him a ton. I think I might have even got him. I missed him in the Scott Fish Bowl. But it fantasy football does not have to be hard. Like, we've talked about both these guys, both these situations. People love Judy. People love Njoku. We think this is going to be a run-centric team in Cleveland. We know that Josh Allen's going to score his rushing touchdowns. We know James Cook's going to, you know, score his rushing touchdowns. But what we don't know, and what most people don't know, but I do know, is who the alpha is in Buffalo. It's not Josh Palmer. It's not Elijah Moore. It's not Dalton Kincaid. It's not fill-in-the-blank Khalil Shakir. It's Keon Coleman, and it's the best value in fantasy football.
Well, it's not Keon Coleman who's the alpha in Buffalo. The alpha in Buffalo is actually Josh Allen.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.